Hey everyone, welcome to By Our Love podcast. This is Charlton
and Natasha. We are a large Christian family living abroad in East Africa, and we would like to invite you along on our journey of faith, hope, and love.
On this podcast, we're going to be discussing our Christian walk, kingdom convictions, discipleship, and church planting,
as well as international adoption, the ins and outs of daily life as a family of 12, and inviting on special guests that motivate and inspire us.
We hope to be a source of encouragement and challenge the status quo. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome back to By Our Love podcast. Today's episode is going to be all about adoption. As most of you know, Charlton and I are in the process of adopting 5 beautiful Ugandan children. And on that note, we have some huge news that
we can't wait
to share. We will also be talking about 4 things to consider before adopting. And this is just a few years of experience, some things that we have faced, and some advice and just food for thought that we want to pass along. So we hope you enjoy today's discussion.
So the big news that we have to share is that we have finally, successfully been granted full adoption of all 5 children. As many of you know, it has been a long road. It's been about a 4-year process for us with children fostering and going through the legal process of adoption and some ups and downs and many times going back to court. And last year, we were granted the 3 youngest siblings, and they wanted us to foster an additional year, providing some extra reports and things like that to the court over the course of that year, and then come back and the judge would finally give us his ruling. And so we have met all of the requirements, actually exceeded the requirements needed by law, and thankfully the judge has ruled in our favor and granted us as the fully legal adoptive parents of all 5 Ugandan children. So this is monumentous for us. I mean, God has truly moved mountains, wouldn't you say, Natasha?
Yes, it's unbelievable. It's still very hard to wrap my mind around. This has been something that we have been praying about and working towards for a majority of our married life. Like, this has been on our hearts for a long time. And to be here living in Uganda and have the judge grant us legal custody, at least here in Uganda, we still have a road ahead of us going through immigration on the U.S. side, because we do want to get things going legally there. But to know that we are pretty much done here as far as legal stuff goes, it's unbelievable. I mean, we still have to process passports and get visas and all that, but it's so minimal.
So I want to touch back on something that you mentioned there a moment ago, Natasha, and how it's been on our hearts for most of our married life, as far as orphans and adoption, and not exactly, especially at the beginning, knowing what that was going to look like, but knowing that it's something that the Lord really placed in our path and in our hearts. And maybe we could share a little bit about what that looked like, because it was several years before, from the time that we started thinking in that direction to when it actually materialized and we had children coming into our home.
Yeah, so Charlton and I have been married for about 11 and a half years. And so several years into the marriage is when we both started thinking about vulnerable children and what that would look like in our lives, how we can make a small impact, how we can help. And that was so about 9 years in the process from that first point to where we are now. And this, I mean, our adoption being approved, like, just happened. Like, this is very new.
It's like fresh off the press, just happened within the last 30 days.
And so we've been very excited and busy and trying to get things in order on this side. And it's just been a wild ride, but we are beyond excited. But yeah, so it's been a journey, to say the least. As some of you, if you're listening to this and you are foster parents, or you have adopted, or you are helping vulnerable children in some way, you know that it's very amazing, but it's very emotionally draining as well, because there's just so much that goes into it. Yeah, so I would say that the first major steps that we took in the direction towards being a forever family was when we became certified foster parents. That was what we did. We knew that we were going to be moving to East Africa, but we wanted to do what we could with what we had where we were at. And so we decided to take some classes and become certified and just learn what we can. We went to different seminars, we read books, and we just wanted to be as prepared as we could. We actually never got a child placed with us. We moved too soon. But still, that was a step that we took.
I think an important lesson that I learned through all of this, looking back on our journey, is just really patience and waiting on the Lord. I know that if any of you are like me, when you get an idea, a vision, or something, you know, laid on your heart, you want to see things materializing and coming together quickly. And that just isn't always the case. Sometimes maybe it works that way for some of you, and I've had things work like that before. But for us, it was just really taking little steps in that direction, not knowing what exactly it was going to look like. As Natasha said, doing what we can, where we're at, with what we have, the resources that are available to us, and just knowing that we have to keep going down that path and allowing doors to be opened. And so it's so exciting to finally be at this point and look back at the beginning of our journey and having no clue where it was going to lead us to and where we would end up. And we're just continuing to be excited as we look in the future and see what God has in store for us as a family. So if you think about it, please keep us in prayer. We still have a road ahead of us, but in major ways, God has definitely answered and delivered in ways that we are so grateful for with our family. So let's share a little piece of our adoption journey here and talk about how we came to know our children and ultimately how they came into our home. So I'll let you do that, Natasha.
Sure. So after we moved to East Africa, we lived in Kenya. Fast forward a bit to Uganda. A lot happened during that time. But what stands out the most is just the people that God has put in our path that really have made an impact for our future. So we started volunteering at a baby home in Jinja, just through some mutual friends and different circumstances that we went through kind of led us there. When we were volunteering, we did express interest in fostering to adopt, if that was a possibility. And we just did a lot of basic stuff. We went once a week and we sorted beans. We walked with babies. We bathed children. We did Bible studies with the aunties. And we just wanted to help, just to be a couple extra sets of hands and feet. And yeah, just be around the children and hopefully encourage some people along the way. Well, the director of the baby home told us that there is a sibling group that she has in mind if we are interested. And when we thought sibling group, we thought maybe two children, but in reality, it was 5 children that she had in mind and was wondering if we would be willing and able to foster, to adopt these children. Now, Charlton and I do want to be careful when sharing this piece of the story because we don't want to really give out too many details about the history and the story of our children. We think that that is their story to tell and not so much ours. And we want to keep that bit private. So we're just going to be a little vague and just share how we got to know them. But it's just, I mean, the whole story is really amazing. And we just see God's hand over everything, truly. Just a complete answer to prayer. But so after the director asked us about that, I know we spent some time praying and talking and seeking counsel of people around us and our church body who we really look up to. Yeah, we just decided that this is a sibling group that is not going to be together unless we push forward with this. And it seems big and it seems impossible. That's a lot of children. And at that time, you had to foster for 3 years in Uganda before you could adopt. Now, the law has changed, and now it's you need to foster for 1 year. But at the time, it was 3. And we're like, who will be able to live here for 3 years to adopt 5 children? And it just seemed like a bit of an impossible situation. But we know with God, all things are possible. So we said yes, and it wasn't too long later that all 5 siblings were brought to our home, and we started the foster process.
So when all 5 children came into our home, it was a major transition. I mean, overnight, our small family grew exponentially. We went from being a family of
3
to a family of 8 overnight. And so needless to say, there was a major learning curve as we had to learn how to operate and be a big family and just how to manage people, manage children. And that in and of itself, I think, is also tremendous, the way that transition happened rather quickly, I would say, as I look back. It looks, I mean, to me, God actually really was working and knitting us together as a family in a beautiful way. And so we're thankful for the grace that God poured into our family and our lives at that time. He gave us what was needed to make it through that time in our life.
And part of what was needed was actually Carol, our oldest. So a lot of the children, so at the time, Carol was 11, and then they all were different ages. Kati was 1, the same age as our daughter, Hadassah. And so having 2 1-year-olds was a bit of a challenge, you know, crying for me, chasing me through the house. And at the time, Kati's cry, do you remember? She was like, arr! So she would chase me through the house, purring, or whatever that was. I still don't know, but I've never heard a child cry like that. Like, that was her cry. And then Loke didn't speak English or Luganda. Now, Luganda is
the main language.
The main language
in Luganda. It's the most, the prominent tribe is the Baganda people. And so the predominant language is Luganda.
But so our son Loke, he only spoke Swahili. Our son Longoli only spoke Luganda and Swahili, so he was the only one that could communicate with Loke. And Carol spoke English and Luganda, so she communicated with Longoli, who had to communicate with Loke. And our daughter Cindy, she just didn't really talk. Maybe she
was
she
only
knew
3 at the time,
right? She maybe knew a little Luganda, but I mean, it wasn't much, or Lusoga actually. So as you can imagine, it was a little chaotic to begin with. We had to teach children how to use indoor toilets, and like the refrigerator was such an amazing contraption. I just
everything was a new experience, especially for the boys. Not so much, you know, Cindy, Carol, and I mean, Katie was still very young, but for the boys coming straight from the rural setting in Uganda into city life here in Kampala,
touching, modernity. Yeah, I kind of have a funny story that I'll share real quick. So, I mean, by no means has this been easy. We have made plenty of mistakes as parents along the way, and we just praise the Lord that we are here and everybody is alive and well. And, you know, we've had hard times. We've had fun times. We've had interesting times. One story I do have to share, and I have plenty. I mean, I could probably go on for a couple hours on just some fantastic stories, but this one's good. So, as a mom with all of a sudden, my family has grown from 3 children to 8 children. I didn't know how much toilet paper was to be consumed. I mean, I was still like figuring this out, but we were going through toilet paper like crazy, and I just could not figure out what was going on. Well, one day at nap time, I went upstairs, and a child who will remain nameless, a child was in the bathroom, took the toilet paper. So it was on the roll, like mounted in the wall, on the wall, took the bottom piece of toilet paper, put it in the toilet, flushed the toilet, and watched the toilet paper roll go brrrr, and all the toilet paper was, the toilet was just sucking it down. And I was like, that is where all the toilet paper has gone. So, I mean, that was just, I was just so surprised. It was very witty, you know, just this child just trying to figure out the toilet paper. And I don't know, that's just one story I will never forget. So there's a little taste for you guys.
And one thing you were about to mention about Carol is just the blessing of older children when you're looking at adoption. I think a lot of times people gravitate towards
the babies.
They're mm-hmm. cute. They're cuddly.
There's
and not
wonderful. The baggage.
And right,
honestly.
And with older children, I mean, for us, you know, Longoli and Carol, the two older ones, it has been a tremendous blessing and
huge
help.
Yes.
to have them in the family. I really, at this point, don't even know what we would do
without them.
I mean, they are such a blessing.
And that's not to say that there isn't trauma or stress or any of those things with older children, even babies. I mean, if you think about not being with your birth mother, your birth parents, there is trauma that goes into that. And that's very real and it's very serious. And you have that with little babies, just like you would teenagers. But older children truly are a blessing. And yeah, we don't know where we would be without them. I mean, they are great. They've taught us so much, and we are just really, really thankful for all 5.
Now let's talk about the 4 things to consider before adopting. Now, obviously, our experience is going to be in international adoption, but I think what we're going to talk about is applicable to both domestic or international adoption.
Number 1, understand the emotional impact of adoption.
Yeah, this is a very important one to think about and one to be concerned about in entering into adoption is, are you and your spouse on the same page? Have you both thought about this, prayed about it, and are you both moving in a common direction? Because it's going to be a major emotional toll. And if there's children, if you have children already and children are involved, it's going to impact their lives as well. And then there's also the emotional side for the potential children that you're going to be bringing in for foster care or for adoption, and the situations and things that they've been exposed to, potentially trauma in their life. But there's going to be a major change in their environment.
Right. It's important to really think about how will this impact all the different people in our life, in our home, and really trying to look at your environment through another set of eyes. Is it stable? Are you and your spouse, or if you are single, looking at adoption, is your environment emotionally able to support a child? These are really important things to really think about and meditate on. Number two, do your research.
Yes, most definitely do your research. And I would say, first off, get good legal counsel.
Absolutely. 100%, but that is hard to do.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, you might be in a bit of a different situation, because most people, especially from the West, approach adoption with starting at some sort of a adoption agency, which is very helpful because they take a lot of the legwork in some way out of it, as far as just all the legal requirements and the research piece of it. They have done a lot of that groundwork. Now
but also, as on that note, through some different international adoption agencies here in Uganda, there has actually been quite a bit of corruption, and that has affected us. We can't say that it hasn't. It has changed laws here. It has slowed things down. We have been looked at so closely, and I think that's a good thing. In a way, it's very good to make sure that children aren't being trafficked, that judges aren't being paid off, that lawyers are doing their job. But at the same time, it really is making it difficult for these children who genuinely need a good home to get that. So, yeah, I mean, there's been so much corruption as well, you know, just like as a little side note. It's hard. It's hard, y'all. It's hard.
So the more research you can do on the front end, the easier it's going to make your life throughout the process. The legal side of things get very tricky. As Natasha said, for us, the laws were kind of changing as we were going. It went from the need to foster for 3 years down to 1 year, which we were very thankful for. Figuring out the country in which you may be looking to adopt from and getting familiar with the laws that surround adoption. Is there a requirement of foster care before you can even begin an adoption process? And do some research too. Facebook is actually a really great resource. There's a lot of adoption groups on Facebook and on the web where you can find out, you know, people's experiences with different attorneys and actually get a lot of research. There's no need to go out and try to reinvent the wheel. We definitely learned our fair share of going through a couple different attorneys through our process to finally find someone who understood, knew the law, and was able to get things moving for us. So the more that you can spend some time in laying that groundwork is going to save you a headache and a lot of time in the long run.
And also making sure that you get your adoption home study. That's something that we had to get on this side rather than stateside, and that made it quite challenging. So that is one thing to keep in mind as well, is look into adoption home study, what that looks like if you're looking to adopt internationally and how all that works.
And as far as things go for the U.S. side of things, for any listeners that happen to be Americans and maybe you're living somewhere abroad internationally, the U.S. Embassy has some great resources online that can be very helpful as far as what it looks like in processing the adoption on the U.S. side. So when you're looking at international adoption, you have two countries to deal with. You have the country in which you're adopting from, and then the country in which you're going to be bringing these children to, or ultimately the citizenship that they're going to be given as a result of the adoption being granted. And so thankfully, we have, since we live in Uganda, we aren't necessarily in any sort of rush, so that makes the process a bit cheaper, thankfully, for us. But also, it's kind of a different process altogether than if we were living in the U.S. and we happened to be, you know, adopting internationally and bringing them immediately back to the U.S. So there's a form called the N-600K, which is a little bit more of like a naturalization process, and that's what we're going through right now, which is just basically trying to compile all the information, and Lord willing, we'll eventually get an appointment with the U.S. Immigration Department. Once that happens, they'll issue visas for our children, which will be sent to the embassy here in Uganda. We'll collect those and be able to travel back at some point for that interview and move forward in our process.
Number three, be prepared to practice patience and perseverance. So the adoption process can be quite lengthy and complicated. We have learned from experience it should take 1 year to foster a child, and then you go to court. And some people, they have very quick and easy adoption stories. Ours, well, we're going on 4 years. So you really have to be committed. Count the cost. Know that if you are living abroad or you're moving to adopt or whatever it is, that it could take time. And don't let that frustrate you. Don't let that get you down. It's a journey, and we do need to enjoy the process, but it can be quite the complicated process at times. So make sure you have a support group, and as well as you can, try to prepare yourselves for ups and downs, and it's going to take time. Like, I feel like I can't stress that enough. It's going to take time, and adoption is not always a guarantee. We have actually been fostering a little girl in our home for about a year and a half, and she just several weeks ago went to stay with another family, actually in our church body, and they are able to pursue adoption with her, which is wonderful. It's something we've been praying for a while. And as much as we would have loved to have her in our family, we knew from the moment that we started fostering her that that would not be a possibility, simply because the circumstances that we're in with the number of children that we are adopting here, plus our biological, our judge did not think that we would be able to take care of our children physically, emotionally, financially. It took us a few years to have to prove that we were able, that we were capable. And it's really just by the grace of God, like, that he said yes. And I mean, we feel like we're able, and we love these children. We cannot imagine our family any other way. But, you know, having to prove that can be a challenge. But even with as much as we love this little girl, we just could not adopt her. And I know many people have faced that, failed adoptions, and it is absolutely heartbreaking. But that is a reality. It could happen. Up until the last moment. And so that is something to keep in mind before you start adopting. Number four, cultural sensitivity.
Yeah, I think this is a big one. I definitely, kind of tagging back onto the whole research part of things, is if you are doing an international adoption, you're going to want to do a lot of research into the country that your child or children are coming from, and not even just the country, but even the region of the country. You know, for us here in Uganda, we're dealing with many different tribes, and there's a lot of different factors and things to consider depending on where a child might be coming from. And so it's important to familiarize yourself as much as possible with the culture that your child or children may be coming from. It's important for the child who's going to be transitioning into a new family, a new home, potentially a whole new country, but they still need to have some form of a connection to the place that they've come from. And as much as you, as the parent, can aid in that, it is really, I think, helpful for the child who's coming into your home.
Yeah, simply making an effort to understand and learn about the culture is huge. Just making that effort, you know, finding value in diversity and differences, and not seeing differences in culture as a bad thing, but look for the good. I think every culture has beauty to it. Like, one thing I love about the culture we're in here is the community. I could look at it and say, oh, well, this is what I don't like, and this is what I don't like, and this is what I don't like. But there is so much that we can learn. You know, go into the situation saying, what can I learn from this culture? What can I learn from these people? What beauty can we take away that we can hold on to, that we can give to our children? That is so important. And also learning the language. Adapting some of the communication styles that culture has could really help you connect with your child. I would find great value in all of those things.
And it might be uncomfortable for a lot of people to want to open up and experience other cultures. There may be some fears in there. There may be, you know, I think in general, sometimes from the West, we can tend to look at other cultures, and we're quick, as you were saying, Natasha, to pick out the things that we don't like, and that keeps us at arm's length. When that happens, we don't get to experience the beauty of recognizing a lot of the beautiful things that are within other cultures, and how important that is for that child who, you know, this is a part of their identity. It's a part of where they've come from. And it's important for them, especially when they're younger and maybe they didn't have as much. If you have an older child who has spent time in their culture and forming that identity, they can understand. But a child who maybe is younger when they're adopted, it's important to help them connect them back to that identity and culture that they're coming from. And there's a story that you're going to share right now about our youngest, Kati.
Kati is 4 years old, and she has been in our family since she was one. So really, we're all that she knows. We're all that she remembers. And last year, I gave birth to Shiloh, and Shiloh is now a year old. And so Kati has been very curious, and she is very smart. She has a lot of questions. So she asked me some time back, "Mommy, did I come from your belly?" She asked questions about her birth. She's asked me other ones very similar to that, like, "Oh, what was I like when I was first born?" And we don't have many pictures around our house, but we do keep a picture of the children's birth mom framed on our bookshelf. And it's very special to us. When I look at that picture, I actually see Carol. Carol looks so much like her mama. They both have beautiful smiles. So I have that picture, and I reference that picture often. And so when Kati asked, "So did I come from your belly?" and she was asking questions, I brought that picture down and I said, "Kati, this was your birth mama, and you came from her belly." And we would just have a conversation about that. And she's like, "Oh, all right," you know, and she kind of waddles off, and that's that. But she, even though she is a black Ugandan child and she sees me as her, you know, white American mother, it's like she doesn't notice the skin color. She doesn't see, oh, you know, I'm black and they're white. But with that being said, I want her to embrace that she is Ugandan, that she is black and beautiful. And even though our skin is different and our hair is different and our background is different, we are family and we are both made in the image of God. And she is so special and precious. I just want to kind of drive that point home that you do not have to look the same to be in the same family, to love each other. There can be diversity in family, and we should be embracing that.
And from the Christian perspective, that's a beautiful thing. That's exactly what Christ's kingdom is to look like. You know, that's what Paul gets at when he talks about that there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, that it's all these boundaries and barriers and walls that humanity has built up to separate us from each other, to say you're different because of this, is exactly what Jesus and his kingdom are tearing down, and saying that in Christ, in the new humanity, the new creation, we are brought together as a family. And I think adoption is a beautiful picture of that, where we have the ability to take those who don't have a home or a place of belonging, and because of the love that God has shown upon us, we have the ability to extend that to others in some small way and be a picture of Christ's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And so to recap, the four things to consider in adoption. One, understand the emotional impact of adoption. Two, do your research. Three, be prepared to practice patience and perseverance. And four, cultural sensitivity. Well, we hope that you have enjoyed today's episode. If you want to connect with us or have questions, comments, feel free to send us an email at byourlove@gmail.com, or you can also connect with us at Instagram @podcastbyourlove. Have a blessed day.